Welcome back to Through the Word, Daniel 9 today, and one of the most important prophecies in the whole Bible, the 70 weeks of Daniel. The year is 538 BC, back in the reign of King Darius from chapter 6. Daniel is in his 80s, and we find him reading the prophecy of Jeremiah. He discovers that the exile of Israel will last 70 years, and that time is almost up. So Daniel pours out his heart in prayer. His prayer is humble, reverent, and passionate. Please read it. He pleads with God for mercy upon God's people Israel and God's city Jerusalem. And God responds. While Daniel is praying, an angel appears, Gabriel the archangel, and he has a message. Daniel was concerned about the 70-year plan being fulfilled for Israel and Jerusalem. What he gets is a much bigger plan, 70 times 7. And it's not just a prophecy, it's the prophecy, known to many as the backbone of Bible prophecy, which you might recall is also said of chapter 2. In fact, both are true. Each one provides a framework, a puzzle box top, for all prophecy. Chapter 2 gave us the framework for God's plan for the kingdoms of the world. Chapter 9 gives us the framework for God's plan for Israel and Jerusalem. And the two fit together. In chapter 2, the kingdoms of the world come and go, but God's kingdom reigns forever. Yet in the midst of all the worldly powers, God has chosen one people with a very special purpose. The people, Israel. The purpose, we find out in chapter 9. Pay close attention. Gabriel's message begins in verse 23. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city, to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. Okay, stop there, and let's break that down. 77s, or weeks, are decreed. The word there can be seven of anything, like our word dozen. In the Bible, seven is the number for completing a work, like creation in 7 days. In this case, each seven is 7 years, though some disagree with that. 77s makes 490 years, but with one big break. The decree is for your people, Israel, and your holy city, Jerusalem, exactly what Daniel was praying for. And what is the work that will be completed? Every word here is crucial. This is the big plan, God's top-level goals. To finish, or also translated to restrain, transgression. God will restrain Satan and demons and all the law-breaking they provoke. To put an end to sin. Do you ever get sick and tired of sin, of all its corruption and destruction? God will end it. But it's not enough to simply stop the madness, because the guilt would still be on us. We're stained with it. So next up, to atone for wickedness. Atonement is that one thing that takes all that's wrong between you and God and makes it right. It heals your past. That's no small feat, but that's God's plan. To bring in everlasting righteousness. Oh man, this one makes me happy. When we get it right, when we really do right by God and by each other, it's so good. It feels so good. But it never lasts. Yet God's plan is everlasting righteousness. Right with God, right with each other, forever and ever. To seal up vision and prophecy. All of God's promises, all of God's plans fulfilled. I do enjoy the anticipation, but I can't hardly wait for the fulfillment. To anoint the most holy place, or translated, the most holy one. Anoint is a word for God's hand and God's presence upon something or someone, sometimes signified with oil. Anointing marks God's selection, like crowning a king that he chooses. The word Messiah literally means anointed one. God's kingdom needs a king, and the culmination of God's big plan is the anointing of the Most Holy, the King of Kings. So that is a compact summary of God's big plan. End sin. Get us right with Him. Bring in righteousness. and anoint the Holy One. So verse 24 gave us God's purpose, and next we have God's timeline. All of God's purposes will be accomplished in these 77s. To be clear, Bible scholars have several interpretations on this passage. I don't have time to share all of them. If you really want to dig in, John Walvoord's commentary gives a balance and examination of many views. I'll focus on one that is supported by solid historical evidence and that has many respected adherents, and it makes the most sense to me. So there are 77s, but they are broken up into sections, and they have a precise starting point. Verse 25, "Know and understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, until the Anointed One, the Ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens." Okay, the starting point is the decree to restore Jerusalem. That is a definite point in time. There are 4 similar decrees in the Bible, but only the decree of King Artaxerxes of Persia in Nehemiah 2 specifies the city of Jerusalem. Scholars trace that decree to 445 BC. Click. The stopwatch begins. 7 sevens, that's 49 years. And verse 25 says, "It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, or wall, but in times of trouble." Read Nehemiah, and that prophecy was fulfilled perfectly. Now it's about 396 BC, and next up is 62 sevens, or 434 years. That brings us right up to the time of Jesus. Sir Robert Anderson of Scotland Yard famously calculated this timeline using the traditional Jewish 360-day year, beginning with Artaxerxes' decree and landing precisely on Palm Sunday, the grand entry of Jesus as king. Now, while it would be very difficult to prove the exact day, it most certainly puts us in the time frame of Jesus' death. And verse 26 says, "After the 62 sevens, the Anointed One will be put to death and will have nothing." Wow! The death of Jesus in the Old Testament, with the timing predicted accurately. Remember, this was written in 538 BC, and here it tells us exactly when the Messiah will be put to death. Then it says, "The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary." That happened in 70 AD, when the Romans sacked Israel. Major historical event. From there, Israel did not have a homeland for 19 centuries. And that gives us the gap. After 7 sevens and 62 sevens, the stopwatch stopped. Click. But why? Because all of this prophecy is God's plan for Israel. After Jesus died, the clock paused for Israel, with one last seven put on hold. Jesus refers to a period called the times of the Gentiles, which many interpret as the time from his death up until the last seven begins. In this view, the last seven is the tribulation. Again, it focuses on the Israelite people and on Jerusalem. Now, for centuries, that seemed impossible. Jews didn't have a homeland, but in 1948, they reformed a nation. In 1967, they were back in Jerusalem, and God's timepiece was warming up again. Then verse 26 takes us into the future. "The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. That "he" refers to the Antichrist, and the last seven is the tribulation period. Amidst war and desolation, the Antichrist will make a covenant with many, a false peace. But back in verse 27, "In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering, and at the temple he will set up an abomination that causes desolation, until the end that is decreed is poured out on him." And there we have the end of Antichrist. There is a lot of detail we could dig into here, and a whole lot of argument over timelines and interpretations. But remember, this is about the big picture, God's big plan. So focus on the big stuff, and especially on God's purpose. And I'll meet you back here in chapter 10.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.